Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 13, Brahma Stealing the Boys and Calves, Text 14. Iti Uktvadri Dadi Kunja Gavaresh Atma Vatsakam Vichinva Bhagava Krishna Sapani Kavalo Yayo Ityuk Vadri Dari Kmunja Gavareshvatma Vatsaka Vachinvan Bhagavan Krishna Sapani Kavalo Yayao Ityuk Vadri Dari Kunja Gavareshvatma Vatsaka Vachinvan Bhagavan Krishna Sapani Kavalo Yayao. Ikyuk Vadri Dari Kunja. Gavare Shvatma Vatsakam. Shinvan Bhagavan Krishna. Pani Kavala Yayao. Chukadri Dari Kunja. Gavare Shvatma Vatsakam. Chinvan Bhagavan Krishna Sapani Kavala Yayao. Vajri Dari Kunja Kavare Shvatma Vatsakam. Chinvan Bhagavan Krishna Kavalayayo. Yukta Dri Kari Junja Kavare Svatma Vatsakam. Chinvan Bhagavan Krishna Avani Kavalayayo. Ityukvadri Dari Kunja Kavare Shvatma Vatsakam. Chinvan Bhagavan Krishna Sapani Kavalayayo. Yukvadri Dari Kunja Gavare Shvatma Vatsakam. Chinvan Bhagavan Krishna Sapani Kavalayayo. Vaishnavis Yukvadri Dari Kunja Iti Uktva, saying this, Let me bring your calves personally. Adri dari kunjagaj pareshu. Everywhere in the mountains, the mountain caves, the bushes and narrow places. Atmavatsaka, the calves belonging to his own personal friends. Pichinvan, searching out. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishnaha, Lord Krishna. Sapani Kavalaha, carrying his yogurt and rice in his hand. Yayao, started out. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Let me go and search for the calves, Krishna said. Don't disturb your enjoyment. Then, carrying his yogurt and rice in his hand, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, immediately went out to search for the calves of his friends. To please his friends, he began searching in all the mountains, mountain caves, bushes, and narrow places. Passages. Please repeat. Let me go and search for the calves, Krishna said. Don't disturb your enjoyment. Then, carrying his yogurt and rice in his hand, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, immediately went out to search for the calves of his friends. To please his friends, he began searching in all the mountains, mountain caves, bushes, and narrow passages. Purport. The Vedas, Svetashvatara Upanishad 6:8, assert that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has nothing to do personally. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. Because he is doing everything through his energies and potencies. Parasya shaktir vividaiva shruyate. Nonetheless, here we see that he took personal care to find the calves of his friends. This was Krishna's causeless mercy. Mayadyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. All the affairs of the entire world and the entire cosmic manifestation are working under his direction through his different energies. Still, when there is a need to take care of his friends, he does this personally. Krishna assured his friends, "Don't be afraid. I'm going personally to search for your calves." This was Krishna's causeless mercy. Omi Gyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions a verse from the Shvetashvatara Upanishad, and the full verse is Natasya Karyam Karanam Chavidyate Natashamas Chabit Kastadrishite Parasya Shaktir Vividaiva Shriyate Svabhaviki Gyana Balakriya Cha. So, Natasya Karyam Karanam Chavidyate. This means that Krishna has no one who can tell him what to do, assign him any duty. That is not the position of anyone else. Everyone else has some assigned duty that is assigned to them by some superior person. They have to do it. You know, just like you may even be the President of the United States and you may issue some executive order, but then some judge in the federal court says, no, you can't do that. Or you may try to do something, you know, propose some law, and then the legislators say, no, we're not going to do that. So everyone is in a position where they have to make some application or take some consideration of some superior authority. You know, like if you want to open up some shop and do some business in the city of Los Angeles, you have to take permission from the city, get a license from the county, from the state, from the federal government. You have to pay some taxes, follow the rules and regulations, be subjected to inspections, because you're not supreme. You have some duty, or you want to be a student. You have to register in the college. You have to pay your tuition or take out some loans. And you have to take the exams and follow the rules and regulations. Everyone has some assigned duty from some higher authority. But Krishna is not in that position. Natasya Karyam Karanam Chavidyate. He's got no assigned duty. He doesn't have to do anything to satisfy some higher authority. That's his position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he can do whatever he likes. Natatsamaschavidikaschadrishyate. There is nobody equal to him. There is nobody higher than Krishna. Ishvara Parama Krishna. Krishna is the supreme controller. You know, somebody may be a controller in this world to some extent, but above that person there is always some other controller. And in the material world, people are always competing with each other. If somebody's equal to them, then, you know, we want to try to become superior in some way. Or if somebody's superior to us, we want to take their position. But we find no matter what we do, we're never in the position of being the supreme controller. That position is already occupied. Nobody else can take it. There may even be so many different expansions of God. You know, there's so many incarnations. God has many different forms. But the Srimad Bhagavatam says, Ete Chamsa Kalapumsa, Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam. Out of all these different personalities of Godhead, Krishna is the supreme original personality of Godhead. And he has no duty. There's nothing that he's assigned to do or compelled to do by anyone else, really. If he, whatever he does, is it's because he wants to do it. And to do it, he doesn't have to work. Parashya Shaktir Vividaiva Shruyate. He's got his potencies, and his potencies work automatically. Swabhaviki Jnana Balakriya Cha. Swabhaviki means naturally. He doesn't have to exert any effort, either mental or physical, in order to exercise his potencies. And in that text from the Svetashvatara Upanishad, his potencies are described as jnana, bala, kriya, cha. So, you know, the jnana or knowledge potency is there. Krishna possesses all knowledge. If we want to acquire some knowledge, we have to study. We have to work very hard with our minds. Like to prepare for this class, I had to study a little bit. But Krishna, he's manifested all the Vedic literature naturally, spontaneously, without having to think about it or contemplate or study. You know, to acquire some knowledge in the material world, you know, an ordinary conditioned soul, you know, has to study very hard, go to school for years and years and years, pass exams, satisfy so many teachers and professors, you know, produce some thesis. Very hard work. But Krishna possesses all knowledge automatically. Bala. Bala means strength. So everyone in this material world has some strength, but it's limited. And to acquire more, they have to work very hard. But Krishna automatically possesses all power, all strength. Kriya means activity for some specific goal. Means you can accomplish something. You know, we see that in order to accomplish something in this world, whether it's to write a book or build a building or do anything, it requires tremendous effort for an ordinary person. Requires tremendous effort to carry out some activity to fulfill some specific goal. But Krishna creates millions and millions of universes automatically, swabhaviki jnana balakriya cha, by the automatic, spontaneous execution of his knowledge and will and ability and power and organizing ability. Everything is accomplished without him having to exert himself in any way. But although he can do that, we're learning here, he can, if he wants to, personally engage himself to do something. That's his lila. He's not compelled to do it, but just for his enjoyment, for his pleasure, he can act personally. Now, sometimes Srila Prabhupada would give the example that there might be some very wealthy person in Srila Prabhupada's time. The wealthiest family in India was the Birlas. Maybe they still are. So he was saying, yes, Mr. Birla can be sitting in his house and his assistants are managing so many factories and businesses, but he's just sitting in his house. Maybe sometime he'll get on the phone and call them and tell them to do something, and then this huge industrial apparatus that was under his control would just automatically perform what he wanted. But still, you know, he can, you know, personally do something for his family members, for his sons, daughters, wife, relatives. He can still personally do something. He doesn't have to order some servant to do it. You know, his son or daughter asks for something, he could just have the servants do it. He's got so much power. He could do that, but no, he'll do it himself. So Krishna is also like that. Although he has so many potencies and powers, he's in control of everything. And he doesn't have to personally exert himself in any way to accomplish something. Still, for his own pleasure, out of his mercy, Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, out of his mercy, he agrees to act personally for the satisfaction of his devotees. So, atasya karyam karanam trividyate, although he's not compelled to do anything by anyone, out of his mercy, out of his own desire, he can do it. You know, it's interesting, there's one verse in the Bhagavad Gita where this same natasya karyam karanam chavidyate principle is applied to the individual soul, to the ordinary devotee. Yas tva atma ritir eva syat atma triptas chamanavaha atman yevita santushtas tasya karyam navidyate. Yas tvatma ratir eva syat. For one who takes pleasure in the self, and that's with a capital S in the Gita, yas tvatma ratir eva syat atma triptas tamanava. For one whose life is devoted to self-realization, atman yevita santushtash, and one who is fully satisfied in his activities of devotional service, for such a person, there is no duty, Krishna says. And in his purport, Srila Prabhupada says that for such a person who is completely Krishna conscious, his duty is self-illuminated. And that is the position of Krishna's cowherd boyfriends, these liberated souls who take part in his personal pastimes, either in Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world, or in Gokula Vrindavan, the representation of Vrindavan in this world. They are in that position where their duty is self-illuminated. You know, they don't have to be thinking in the way that a devotee engaged in sadhana bhakti, the regulated devotional service. They're on some other different level, but to get to that level, we have to perform devotional service under the rules and regulations. But Krishna can provide intelligence from within. That's what we mean when we say duty is self-illuminated. Tesham sadada yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam didami buddhi yogam tam yena mamupayanti te. Krishna says, for those who are fully engaged in devotional service, he within the heart gives the intelligence by which to come to him. So Krishna can give intelligence. And then tesham nityabhi yuktanam bhajatam tesham nityabhi yuktanam yoga kshemam vahamyaham. Krishna says, for those who are fully engaged in his devotional service, he provides what they need. So we want to come to that position. And how to do that, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Prityaja Mamekam Sharanam Raja. Just give up all other concept of duty and just surrender to me. So we're striving to come to that position where we can eventually participate in Krishna's eternal pastimes like these cowherd boys are doing. To get to that position, it said they had to perform lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes of pious activities. Not ordinary pious activities, as Amala Bhakta Swami has explained in some of his classes recently, but activities meant for the pleasure and satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there are so many different forms of Krishna. Krishna exists as the super soul in the hearts of all living beings. He expands himself in so many ways, even within the atom. Andantarastha paramanu chayantarastham. He's present in every universe. He's present in every atom. And he's controlling everything, as Srila Prabhupada mentions in this purport, mayadya kshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetuna nena kanteya jagat viparvartite. He's controlling everything, moving and non-moving, within the universe. Everything is happening under his supreme control. But apart from that, he's capable of reciprocating on an individual level with his loving devotees, as he's showing here. He doesn't want his cowherd boyfriends to be disturbed. He says, no, 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 you continue taking your lunch. I'll go and search for the missing calves. Of course, it's a big mystery. It turns out to be a big mystery. Where did the calves go? And eventually we're going to see the cowherd boys. They also disappear. Brahma has kidnapped them all, hidden them away somewhere in some cave, because he's not quite sure that Krishna really is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's trying to match his power with Krishna's power. We're going to see later in this chapter how Krishna, in a display of his own superior mystic power, expands himself as all the calves and cows and cowherd boys that were taken by Brahma. So Krishna has that ability to expand himself in so many ways, even as individual cows and calves. We're also an expansion of Krishna. Mamaivamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita. You are my separated fragmental parts and parcels. You're also part of me. You're expansions of me. But we're in a different category than the cowherd boys that were directly expanded by Krishna. Those were his own personal expansions. They were himself, just in another form. But we have the ability to choose to serve Krishna or not serve Krishna. So that decision is always there in front of us. We have to decide, am I going to act in harmony with Krishna's desires, or am I going to act on the basis of my own separate desire? So that duality is the source of our presence in this material world. Vayam dutiyam abhivinashitasya ishade petasya vipariyo smritahi. That duality, that idea that I have some separate interest from that of Krishna, is the source of our being here in the material world. Ishade petasya, because of that desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, we turn from Krishna. Vipariyo asmriti, we take, instead of serving Krishna, we decide to serve ourselves. And because of that, asmritihi, we forget Krishna. So, we want to discipline ourselves, you know, to always act in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead under the guidance of Krishna's representative, the bona fide spiritual master. There are different categories of spiritual master: Diksha Guru, Shiksha Guru, Vartma Pradarshika Guru, the initiating spiritual master, the instructing spiritual master, the person who first guides us to the path of Krishna consciousness. Krishna manifests himself in all those different forms. In our International Society for Krishna Consciousness, we're following the instructions of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is offering this opportunity to qualify ourselves to enter into Krishna's pastimes, to take some position, such as the cowherd boys are taking, the cowherd girls. We're being offered the chance to come to that position where we might have the same pleasure that, you know, these cowherd boys are having of seeing Krishna directly and seeing him say, no, you take your meal, I'll go and search for the calves. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Rabindranath Prabhu?
Yeah, you mentioned how Lord Brahma wasn't sure that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So how do you explain that Krishna appears once in a day of Brahma? In other words, Krishna appears, you know, he appears once in a day of Brahma on this planet, and Brahma's there. So how is it that he doesn't remember those things that happened like yesterday for him?
How does who remember?
Lord Brahma.
How do?
In other words, or he doesn't, you know, in other words, Krishna appeared like for Lord Brahma yesterday, because Krishna appears once in a day of Brahma. So in this pastime, Lord Brahma isn't sure that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So how is it he doesn't remember what happened yesterday in his time?
It seems that sometimes even devotees who should know things are bewildered by Krishna's yoga maya potency for the purpose of some pastime being carried out. So normally, you know, Brahma wouldn't be confused by anything like this. But in this particular case, he is. I mean, Brahma is the head of a sampradaya. We're in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. He's the head of a sampradaya dedicated to the teachings and service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And many times Krishna is displaying his full opulences and potencies as the creator of all of the universes and things like that. He expands himself as the Mahavishnu, and you can see the universes coming from his body, things like that. Or he's existing in Vaikuntha as Lord Narayan, exhibiting his full powers. But in these special occasions, you know, when he appears as a little cowherd boy, it may mystify even Lord Brahma, and that's apparently happening here. So I mean ideally it would be good to have, you know, some statement from Guru, Shastra, or Sadhu directly addressing your question. But this is referred to as the Brahma Vimohana Leela. You know, the Acharyas do mention that. So Brahma Vimohana means Brahma has been put into illusion here. Archita, you have something to say about this particular question?
Well, we have the example of Arjuna. Prabhupada asked directly, is it, you know, because Krishna's pastime keeps going on. So the devotee asked Prabhupada directly, is it the same Arjuna that goes with Krishna to continue that path? And he said yes. So it seems that continually Arjuna is being put into forgetfulness, and then Krishna has to give him Bhagavad Gita, and then again it happens, and then again it happens. So it's like that with Brahma, it seems. Every day Krishna comes and he develops this desire to test him, and Krishna bewilders him and just goes on every day like that. So I don't see any problem there.
But also in the beginning of this, of Krishna's descent, it's, you know, the demigods go to Brahma and then they go to the shore of the milk ocean and they... Yeah, so it's not that he's forgetful all the time. It's just that at this particular moment, so...
At this point in the pastime, this is what happens.
Yeah, at this point in the pastime, it happens. Amala Bhakta Maharaj wants to say something.
Thank you for a very nice class. before I say what I want to say, I want to thank you especially for the fact that you present in your class if not all your classes, very excellent exposition of Parampara. Everything you state is to be can be found in Srila Prabhupada's books or a reference where you can find it. This is very important learning principle that Dhrudakarma is showing us. Do not go out on a limb, as I sometimes hear. Somebody makes a statement, which is definitely, I've read Prabhupada's book several times, and I've never heard that, and it sounds a little bizarre or out of the ordinary, and I will ask the person, can you please give me the reference for that so that we can all ponder it a little bit and explore it a little bit more? He said, well, I don't have the reference. I said, well, then why should we believe this? You know, if you can't give us a reference. Well, my guru told me about it. Well, why didn't you ask your guru? There's nothing wrong with asking a guru in a non-challenging fashion, and so forth. So we should be prepared, just as Dhrudakarma has been done, who has a very nice scientific approach to everything and tries to justify everything properly. To me, it's the ideal way of presenting a class, that it comes right out of Prabhupada's books. You can find it in the books, if not one of many books, and you feel very confident, and not only that, but very faithful to Prabhupada in presenting it the way it has been, in other words, as it is. So I just want to make that as a just one point that we can all learn from. But another point in regard to learning, as Dhrudakarma said, this is a particular or a special incident, a pastime in which Brahma goes into a certain amount of forgetfulness. So we need to see the overall or the larger picture, that Krishna, as it was mentioned a few moments ago, Krishna puts him into this forgetfulness, but for what purpose? Actually, many of these pastimes are for us to learn something, some principle. In the pastime, as we will see, even Brahma himself says that I'm so proud, I'm so puffed up, everyone's worshiping me and glorifying me, and I forgot, you know, my real position, that I'm really your insignificant servant, and that everything I do is really backed and guided by, I totally forgot because I began to think maybe I'm equal to you. So the point is this, is that we can all be in a position of power or a position of potency, a position of excellence, a position of a glorification, and it's very easy to fall into the same type of a situation where we begin to think we're better, higher, greater, superior to everyone else, because after all, I'm getting something that others aren't getting. And that's a very dangerous, very serious position, as so many of our gurus and GBC members have found out by not always thinking of themselves as below the feet of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. They naturally fell into the same idea that I'm superior, I'm greater, I'm better, and different thoughts come from that, which cause a loss of connection, a loss of conscious connection with Krishna, and a loss of the joy, the bliss, the happiness, the peace, all that they had, it disappears. And what happens after that is there becomes an attraction for material activity, material accomplishment, material desires begin. So, just the point is, this pastime is to teach us something. And as we move through it, we will see that just what I mentioned, pride goes before the fall. We should be very, very careful and examine our consciousness, examine our minds, examine our thought process, and ask ourselves, are we thinking in any way, subtly or grossly, that we are superior to anyone or everyone? And if we just think how powerful, how great, how glorious Krishna is and all his pure devotees that we're talking about now, we pale into insignificance. And in that position of paling into insignificance, we are very properly situated.
Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.